Our first scripture reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter, and we begin reading at verses 1. Rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, the first chapter. Throughout Advent, in our midweek services, we'll be reading from the first chapter of John's Gospel. We read verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.
My text is based on your gospel lesson. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is our text. You know, it's amazing what even a little bit of light can accomplish. But I'm not sure, at least from a spiritual point of view, if we truly appreciate that or really understand how dark darkness can be. We don't experience, at least from a physical point of view, true darkness that much. For instance, you know, in your bedrooms at night, when you turn the lights off, how many of you have a little clock with lights on it by your bed? You still have light. And if you get up in the middle of the light, that light probably helps guide you. When it's a cloudy night, There are no stars or moon outside. You probably still have light where you're living. How many of you have a street light that's kind of by your house? Yeah, we rarely ever experience total darkness. I have on a few occasions, one of which was at the farm my aunt and uncle used to have. They're about 13, 14 miles away from the nearest city, and the nearest city, well, had a population of about 500, so it didn't have a lot of light. You couldn't see anything coming from it at night. They had one big yard light. And if it was a cloudy night and the sun was long set, you could walk out into the yard and do a few things. But one night, I just decided I'm going to walk out towards the fields. And pretty soon, I hadn't walked that far. It was so black, I couldn't even see where I was stepping. Sometime, if you haven't experienced total darkness lately, go into some room in your house that doesn't have a window. Close the door. Walk to one end of the room and the other without killing yourself. It's hard to do. Even the tiniest of light would make a tremendous difference. And as it is from a physical point of view, also, it is somewhat from a spiritual point of view, which I'm not sure we as Christians fully appreciate. The world can be a lot darker than it already is. And every now and again, we witness that, at least from an historical point of view. Imagine being a Jew living in Germany during World War II. Just because you existed, you were targeted for destruction. During what we refer to as the Holocaust, some 6 million people had their lives snuffed out in the cruelest and most horrible sorts of ways. It would seem to us unthinkable to be that cruel to human beings, but sometimes the world shows forth how dark it can be. During the reign of Stalin in Russia, some 20 million Jews and more Christians had their lives snuffed out by a regime that thought any religion was inherently evil. Just by being caught worshiping Christ, you could be killed. A number of years back, when I went on a mission trip over to Lithuania, spoke with pastors who had been imprisoned for years in Siberia. I was shown church organs that were silenced by machine gun fire. That's not quite our world yet, but it can get a lot darker. While Ancient Rome was thought to be somewhat of a civilized nation, it was quite common in practice, if you didn't like the child that was born to you, to simply set him out in the wilderness and let him die. Wanted a boy, not a girl, just throw the child out. How dark our world can be. But as I said, I'm not sure we fully appreciate how our lights do make a difference in a world that is horribly dark without us. I've noted this before in sermons, but you know, if you go around the world, literally, even in nations where Christianity is just 1 or 2% of the population, and look at the names upon the hospitals, at least for most of recent history, they're changing a lot these days. But what were the names of the hospitals? Who was it that was giving care to the sick and the helpless? Well, there were names like St. John's, St. Paul's, Mercy. Named for Christian saints and Christian ideals. That for most of human history and most places were really unknown ideals. The largest care organization on our planet is called the Red Cross. Why is it called the Red Cross? Well, it was begun by Christians. Bringing the light of mercy and love into a world that really didn't grasp it. Our lights, laying that light of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, shine in our hearts, even in a dark world. Makes a tremendous difference. And right now in our world today, those lights need to shine even brighter. Not that darkness can ever snuff it out, but because the world is becoming a darker place. And people are in desperate need for some kind of light. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Truth. It seems in our world today that even the existence of truth, any truth, is in question. But the truth is, if you look at the historical record, a world without Christ is a world without mercy and care. It becomes a world that only seeks power and glory. If you want a world where mercy, love, charity are abundant, you can only find that world for people who know Christ and Him crucified, who know a God whose supreme quality, although He's many things, He's glorious, He's just, He's eternal. He's unchanging. He's all those things. But above all the qualities of God that exist, the one he cherishes most, the one he's unwilling to ever sacrifice, even for a moment, that he might be something else, is this quality of love. He was willing to send forth his only son into this world and sacrifice him. And we who are by nature his enemies because of our sin, know his love. The truth, and all of history proves it, that where the love of God shines forth in its true and brilliant light, lives are changed. Peace reigns. And when that message of Christ, that message of grace and truth is absent, grace and truth become unimportant in the world. Years ago, there was a pastor become political figure by the name of Jerry Falwell. During the Reagan era, he formed a group to support political causes called the Moral Majority. How many of you remember the Moral Majority? Some of you aren't old enough, but wow, I'm getting old. But it was a very significant group, raised a lot of money, donated to a lot of political campaigns. I can't remember how long he headed up that group. I think it was in the neighborhood of 4 to 6 years. But one day he decided to resign from the group. And I always remembered the words that he spoke. And he was a very important national figure at the time. He spoke these words. For years I have been trying to make our nation a more Christian nation through political activity. And I have come to a conclusion, which has pointed out an error in my ways. The only way to make a more Christian nation is to make more Christians. Thus, I am resigning from my political activity and resuming my full-time activities as a pastor. Teacher. He wasn't Lutheran, but those words were. But he was a Christian. We worry about many things and get busy with many things as Christian people. But if you're afraid the world is getting darker, if you wish that you could do something to change the path of where we are headed as a people, you need to realize the only way we can shed some light into this dark world is to let the light of Christ shine in our lives. To be vehicles of communicating his words, to showing forth the mercy in our daily lives that he has shown to us, loving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us, but not stopping just with actions, but explaining to people why we do that. And it's because of the light that God has implanted in our hearts, the light of grace, the light of truth. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In this ever-darkening world, let us remember to let our lights, that light which God has implanted into our hearts, shine each and every day. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.